to the Representing Rural podcast. I am Candace Williams, and today our guest is Jerry Delikowski. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Candace. Good to be here today.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us, Jerry. So today we're going to talk about community schools and specifically the Arkansas Coalition for Community Schools. So Jerry, explain to us what is a community school?
It's a strategy to provide services and inclusion for students based on building relationships and developing resources that are accessed through the school. The school becomes the hub of the community, and it helps to accelerate equitable outcomes for students by getting them the supporting, meeting their underlying needs so they'll be some more successful in school. I want to make it clear because some have been confused. It's the same school board, the same superintendent you have now. The difference is a community school has a coordinator person, and many times it's a person that works for the district, but it could also be working for paid by a nonprofit of some type. And that person uses their time to connect with students and their families and connect them to opportunities and resources. But they also spend part of their day working with businesses and other organizations in the community to build those relationships and supports for students.
So it's a regular school, and it provides services to not only the children that are within the walls, but the community. Is that right?
That's right. Right.
Okay. So specifically, I know you co-founded the Arkansas Coalition for Community Schools. So could you tell us exactly what made you want to delve into or to dive into community schools, and then take it a step further and create this coalition?
Well, in my work, I had worked for a long time on adequacy funding, which some may recognize is how the legislature decides how much money schools need. And part of that study was about needs for low-income students and additional needs that students have above the norm that every child needs. So and then I worked with Arkansas Advocates for Community and Families and studied that a lot more. So I became aware of this solution in many other states around the country, but Arkansas had explored it through some early work with an initiative out of Yale, but nobody truly had a community school with a coordinator that was making all the connections. So along with your help, Candace, so I thank you and my business partner, Maria Jones, we came to the conclusion that this might be a good solution to support our students. And we learned and that we were going to need more help than just us. So we formed a coalition of a group of both nonprofits, people like the Arkansas Hunger Alliance, and originally grade level reading that is now Excel by 8. We had some of the education professionals like the superintendent's group and the teachers group and the school board group all participating. So we just tried to pull together many other organizations also, but to work together to try and figure out how we could make this happen in Arkansas.
And when was the coalition founded?
We had our first meeting in 2017, and we've made progress and fits and starts, but really in 2019, everything started falling into place. Senator Elliott and Senator Hendren co-authored a Senate resolution in support of community schools. in the spring of 2019. And it wasn't too long after that and that the mayor of Little Rock, Mayor Frank Scott, announced his part in working with the Department of Education and the Little Rock School District. He proposed a solution that the city would help Little Rock to start community schools in some of the individual schools within the district that were having the most academic challenges. So that kind of kicked everything off, and we had a visit in the fall from the national leader of the Coalition for Community Schools, and it seemed to energize everyone, and it sort of exploded from there.
Wow. So it took a couple years for it to get some, you know, footing and for people to really start recognizing it. But since then, it's we're here now where we have models of community schools that are actually in Arkansas now. So you spoke about Little Rock. Are there other models of community schools in Arkansas now that the coalition is supporting or assisting in some way?
Yes. When the CARES Act funding came out this spring in 2020, that was the money, the federal money that for the response to COVID-19. It was some money to schools for those sorts of solutions. And different schools used it different ways, but Batesville had kind of been exploring this work anyway. They had been in the meeting in November and they were working with the Excel by 8 group. So they had done some needs analysis work and they chose to use their, it's called ESSER, but that is just the money for COVID-19 that the schools got. They chose to use that money to hire a community school coordinator at their school. They found out, and as many schools did when COVID-19 hit, that there was a lot of work coordinating, trying to answer the needs of students. Families would call the school. You know, the school became the hub, the place that was trying to coordinate everything, meals and other kinds of services and needs. They even helped get a child that had fallen and injured a tooth to get all the dental clinics were closed, and they helped them, you know, connect. So the person doing all of that was their curriculum coordinator. And that meant at a time when she was really busy trying to get curriculum switched to remote. Wow. And all of that. So they saw the benefit of having a person that could take on this coordination role of getting resources to children, connecting families. They had a lot of businesses and churches that were willing to help, but it takes time, as you know, to call those people, set up those relationships, and get those things scheduled. So it really, they've been very happy with this work and the benefits that it's provided. And their other school personnel can get back to doing what they need to do, which is it's been tough for them to get education rolling remote and in person both. And it's challenging. So this kind of takes one layer of things that our teachers often pitch in and do, takes that off their shoulders. So there's one less thing for them. And they are a rural community. I know in Arkansas, the Batesville is so almost a big city compared to some of our rural communities. Yeah. But yeah. The National Coalition, National Center for Education Statistics classifies all of our districts, and Batesville's classified as a rural district. But that's any rate. So we have both an urban example going and a rural example. And I think those, we want to build those out. We want Little Rock's only going to do 4 schools to start with, but they want to build that out to 6 or 8. And we want to build out to some other rural schools and really get the model going.
That's amazing. Like, they are rock stars over there in Batesville. And it's just, it's all hands on deck. The chamber understands the importance of supporting education and the children while they're of the K-12 age, and how all that works into the pipeline. So I love Batesville. They understand it. They get it. They get it that school that a child needs outside of the school walls, normally outside of the school walls, that affects their performance and how they're able to come to school and be ready to perform. So I just love Batesville. And you can see it in Little Rock as well. You have the mayor who mm-hmm. is supportive of community schools. So it can't just be done or supported by the school districts. Like it has to be a community effort for this to work. So, and in both of those examples, you see that it takes everyone to make this work. So you spoke about Batesville, but specifically, how do you feel moving forward, the community school model would fit into rural communities?
Yes, and we're going to make a concentrated effort to do that. I haven't mentioned yet, but we received Forward Arkansas, where I work, and Thurman Green Works has been helping staff the Arkansas Coalition for Community Schools. And so the national model is for a nonprofit to staff that coalition also. So we're kind of following that model. But in that role, Forward received a grant, and thanks to Corey Anderson and Sarah McBroom at Winthrop Rockefeller Foundation for helping facilitate that. But the National Education Association Foundation, which is the teachers, national teachers group, provided funding for Arkansas to build up its coalition and for supporting, the rollout in these first 2 communities so they can serve as a model and we can set up a plan to expand this. Scaling up which means more schools doing it. Mm-hmm. But that's an important part of this grant. So it's going to be a big piece of what comes next. And we have, like I say, 2 pathways. One is the urban needs, but the other one is rural. And Batesville is in north central Arkansas. It's primarily a white community with a lot of Hispanic students. And they're working, to make sure they reach the Hispanic community within Batesville also. But we want to also make sure the model works in the Delta with mm-hmm. high minority African American communities, and in South Arkansas where the lumber industry is, and mm-hmm. and we want to make sure we have a few little templates. We'll probably start with one more, and then the better we get at it and supporting them and making sure that they have what they need to succeed, the more we'll try to keep going and grow the effort. I'll say one thing that put both Batesville and Little Rock ahead was some advanced needs assessment and work they had done. Mm-hmm. And part of that was the, in Batesville, they did a community plan that their Chamber of Commerce orchestrated, but they did it by surveying pretty much everybody in the community to start with. Mm-hmm. And then they built on that with the Excel by 8, which is a program that works on making sure communities have the needs of children from birth to age 8, because if they have that solid start, they do well from there on. So both of those kinds of assessments really gave them a leg up. And so I would, if I could speak to your communities, I would say doing that sort of an assessment of A, what your needs are, but B, what your assets are too. What mm-hmm. kinds of programs, where are you ahead of the game? You know, what kind of strengths can you pull on? What businesses are really willing to engage, and churches and those kinds of things are assets too. So part of the grant is to build a model that we can expand to other communities, other rural communities. And we want, we're going to try to find for this next community, someone that's done some work already in needs assessment and is sort of forming some of those relationships now, because that mm-hmm. helps with the head start to get it rolling.
Okay. So what is there something specific a community needs to do to initiate this needs assessment process, or is it just a group of the community members coming together and saying, hey, we need to do this?
I think it could be, you know, start informally, and at some point you may want to, you know, switch to this organization's going to lead this effort, or similar to, it was the chamber in Batesville, it was City Hall in Little Rock, but some group that's going to be the main point of contact with the school, because part of this is helping the school not have to talk, you know, to cut down that load for them. You know, a lot of our schools have many good community organization relationships, and some of them are more isolated and really kind of operate as an island and don't have a lot of connections. So I think maybe just a group of well-meaning people gathering and talking about it, and we can certainly get you all kinds of information and probably some models, a couple of different options for how you might do needs assessment, and let you decide. But as the work sort of starts to solidify, you'll probably want to have one community or do a little coalition in your own town of 3 or 4 people that would lead that work on behalf of your community and help to explore all the options.
Okay. Is there a certain, I'm on the needs assessment rabbit hole now. So is there a certain percentage of responses that they need in order to validate like the needs assessment?
Not really, but one thing, and the grant has reinforced this understanding for me, is they're very interested in making sure all the demographic groups are represented, that that everybody has a voice, that say in Batesville, the Hispanic community really is part of that conversation. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, especially in a community where there may be some language barriers, that's tough. And we've been working with Arkansas United also. They're exploring ways to engage. Batesville's been lucky. Their ESL coordinator for the school, their English as second language coordinator, has helped with outreach and translation of materials. But we want to make sure that, you know, if there's one side of town, people don't seem to engage or connect when they're there, that we don't just leave them, that people go out and try and do some outreach and find out what their needs or why they haven't engaged, but make sure everybody is represented to some degree at the table.
That's very important, to make sure everyone's voice is at the table and decisions are made off of assumptions for any particular group of people. So very excited to hear about Ford Arkansas and the Arkansas Coalition for Community Schools obtaining that grant to to really get into rural communities with this community schools model, because I just, as you mentioned before, RCA has, it's been along the ride since the beginning.
And right.
I really
believe. You know.
Huh? Yeah.
You know, you've been with us.
Yeah. So I really believe in this, in the community school model working for rural communities. Because for the most part, our schools are already, you know, that's our hub. And having access to certain things that are like the basics for communities that some rural communities don't have, it would be important to utilize that space at our schools for those community needs. So I'm just excited to hear about you all developing community schools in rural communities. So when will this work begin, or when will you start, I guess, seeking a specific rural community or communities to work with?
We're going to be doing that probably during the second half of the school year, maybe in January. You know, everything's so much harder with the COVID-19. You can't just have public hearings all over and invite everybody. And some folks can't access Zoom calls and those sorts of things. So we're going to put together sort of it's not a, you have to do step 1 through 10, but sort of a toolkit, things that people can use to get started and begin assessing themselves and working toward the model, the strategy. But it'll probably be sometime next semester when we'll try to link with at least one other community initially, and then hopefully, you know, over the summer and at the start of the next school year, we can start to expand and think about who's next and those kinds of things.
Okay.
We're still learning ourselves right now
what it
takes to help people do this.
So if someone wants to learn more about the Arkansas Coalition for Community Schools, or they want to contact you all, could you tell them how?
The coalition has a website. It's AR Community Schools, all one word, AR Community Schools with an S, .org. And then we also have a Facebook page. AR Community Schools is also the Facebook link. So I'll have, there's another part of the grant is building up both the website to get more information available. Mm-hmm. We want to put a link so folks can have a needs assessment, or they can have an agreement between an organization and the district to do this work, or they can have sample job description.
Great.
Some of those things that would help people figure out how to do it. I'll mention Little Rock is paying for their coordinators with Title IV funds, mm-hmm. which is an excellent federal source, and really part of what that money is really intended to do is student supports and safety. And then Batesville used CARES money, the COVID-19 money, but they're, you know, they can use Title I. There are different ways to fund that one position, and probably some even more creative ways to hire that person or have them maybe work at a nonprofit or something, depending on other resources.
Well, thank you so much, Jerry, for joining us today and just telling us about the Arkansas Coalition for Community Schools and how important they will be for the future of education in Arkansas, for our education systems and our communities. Do you have anything else you want to add to the conversation?
No, you can share my email with your folks that may connect with you, and we'll try and be responsive and see how we can assist.
All right. Thank you, Jerry.
All right. Thank you, Candace.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It is now time for RCA's Rural Power Moves. Today, the first Rural Power Move, being that it's a day before Election Day, is to vote. If you know someone who needs a ride tomorrow to the polls or anything, be sure that if you can, that you're willing to help them do so. Tomorrow is it. Polls open at 7:30 a.m., close at 7:30 p.m. Do your best to try to make it there or help someone else make it there if they have not already. The second Rural Arkansas Power Move would be our Step Up for Literacy competition, or challenge rather. We extended it until this Thursday. So if you could just email a summary of the time that you read, the books that you read to rca@thenewrural.org, you will be eligible to receive some goodies that we have for the Step Up for Literacy Challenge. Just promoting literacy, the whole family, promoting literacy throughout the whole family. And our last Rural Arkansas Power Move of today would be our Rural Pitch Competition that's coming up on the 20th of this month. The deadline to submit is November the 6th. It's a Google form that you'll have to submit. If you have any questions about that, you can feel free to also contact us at rca@thenewrural.org. That's rca@thenewrural.org. Whew. It's election time, y'all. It's here. Seemed like we've been in this cycle for a longer than a year. But we're here now, and I hope everyone has exercised their right and their privilege to be able to vote during this election season. And I hope that you don't stop here, that your engagement, your advocacy does not stop here at this election, but you keep it up for our midterm elections and even for your local civic engagement. You're needed. Your voice is needed. Your manpower is needed in order to continue to move rural Arkansas forward. Until next time, you all take care.